dear brothers and sisters, dear colleagues, must be one of the nation's indispensable contribution to economies, including but not limited to the care economy. They care for children, support older people, assist people with disabilities, and sustain households, enabling millions of others to participate in the labor market. So their work is fundamental to the functioning of our societies and in particular to the care economy. But for far too long, domestic work has remained undervalued, underpaid, and often excluded from labor law protections. The Convention 189 changed the global conversation. It established clear standards regarding working time, minimum wages, occupational safety and health, social protection, freedom of association, collective bargaining, and protection against abuse, violence, and harassment. It affirmed that domestic workers deserve decent work and decent life. And the convention also promotes consultations to domestic workers' organizations in many articles when it states, and here I quote it, in consultation with the most representative organizations of employers and workers, and where they exist with organizations representative of domestic workers and those representative of employers of domestic workers. So I think since 2011, really significant progress has been achieved. We have so far 40 ratifications, and many member states have introduced legal reforms, extending labor protections to domestic workers. But the work is far from complete. Still, too many domestic workers continue to work in the informal economy. Many remain excluded from labor protection, social security systems, minimum wage coverage, and occupational safety and health measures. We must therefore, together, we must intensify our efforts to promote further ratification and effective implementation of the convention. Ratification remains one of the strongest signals that governments can send regarding their commitment to decent work, gender equality, and social justice. Dear colleagues, in this regard, I really would like to remind you that our Bureau for Workers' Activities, ACTRAF, is always eager and ready to provide support to promote domestic workers' rights. ACTRAF has a long history in supporting trade union action to protect domestic workers' rights, strengthen the organizations, promote social dialogue, and advocate for the ratification and implementation of the convention. And I will, before finishing, I will just make a last remark and reference to this ILC. I think this ILC is really a test for the credibility of the ILO. And let's not forget that we have important negotiations about the transformative agenda for gender equality. This is something which concerns this convention directly, as we know that most of the colleagues are female colleagues. So I think it's really an obligation for us. It must be an obligation for us to make these negotiations a success and fall not behind standards that we have already achieved. In this respect, once again, congratulations to you, but to all of us, that we move ahead. And I wish you a successful event here. Once again, I'm really happy to be part of it. And I wish all of us a successful continuation and then termination of this International Labour Conference. Thank you very much, colleagues.
Thank you so much, Oliver. We know that you have to leave soon, so don't worry about it. You can sneak out, but thank you for making the time to be with us to give us these opening remarks. With that, let's go to Brother Luke.
Thank you, Adriana, and good evening to all of you, sisters and brothers. I'm really happy to be here because I very much remember what happened 15 years ago and how important that was for the recognition of domestic workers in the world. And I greet you on behalf of the more than 200 million members of the ITUC. Also proud to say that actually your federation, the Domestic Workers Federation, is probably the fastest growing federation in our family. So for me, it's really a pleasure to be here with you today to mark the 15th anniversary of the acceptance and the vote in favor of the ILO Convention 189 on decent work for domestic workers. We cannot remember this historic occasion without also remembering the leadership at that time of the late former president of the International Domestic Workers Federation, and you know her much better than I do, Myrtle Witbooi, and the countless workers' leaders who, like her, struggled for years to get C-189 and Recommendation 201 to become a reality. And I really would like to thank also my dear friend, sister, colleague Adriana, for co-organizing this event with us today. You are a great leader, Adriana, and you are a great part of our Global Union Federation's family together with the ITC, and I want to say that it's loud and clear. We have been proud to stand with your federation and domestic workers on every continent as ITC. While international law sometimes can be very complex, the principles that motivate our solidarity are simple. Domestic work is work. Domestic workers are workers. And as such, their struggle is also our struggle. We are part of the same working class and the same global trade union movement. We are all in the same family. And before, and especially since C-189, domestic workers have become the heart and soul of trade unions around the world. You. Together, we have accelerated the long fight for a world of work free from gender-based violence and harassment, and we played a central role in the adoption of C-190. We have prioritized global recognition of migrant workers and care workers, including the International Day of Care. In the struggle for decent work for platform workers that is central to this year's ILC, we have worked together to ensure that all platform workers, and that includes also domestic and care workers recruited or managed through digital platforms, that all workers are protected. In the general discussion this week on gender equality, as already mentioned by Oliver, we are standing side by side to demand a transformative feminist agenda to confront the structural barriers preventing gender equality at work. We are on the front line together in the fight for democracy and for democracy to actually deliver what workers all deserve. When we organize unions, when we demand recognition and collective bargaining and win higher wages, when we win working time rules, regulation of employment agencies, and formalization of our work, we are transforming democracy, day-to-day democracy, from theory into a real reality. But the democracy that unions practice, that we practice, that domestic workers believe in, is under attack everywhere in our world today. A billionaire coup against democracy threatens the very rights we have spent more than a century fighting for, and that domestic workers have only just recently begun to see realized. As mentioned already, only 40 countries have ratified C-189 after 15 years. Nothing more and nothing less than a shameful statistic when you consider that nearly twice that number of countries are considered democracies. So we still have a lot of fight and work to do. And despite the failures and attacks of many employers and governments, workers continue to fight and to win. In Indonesia, after decades of struggle, we won the adoption of the Domestic Workers Bill. Yeah, let's applaud. In Bangladesh, new reforms promise 120 days of paid maternity leave and explicitly include domestic workers in provisions for union rights, for welfare and social security. And in the 15 years since C-189 passed, hundreds of thousands of domestic workers have organized trade unions into trade unions and won labor law and policy reforms in dozens of countries that have helped improve the lives of millions of their people. These wins are victories. Victories, victories, victories for domestic workers, but also for all workers, for all unions, and for democracy itself. And that's why today we do more than remember what has been accomplished together 15 years ago. Because we also look to what we can win in the next 15 years. And what can we win? More ratifications of C-189 and better implementations. Real social dialogue and collective bargaining for domestic workers needs to be on the agenda for the next 15 years. Formalization of informal work and greater recognition of the right to organize. Today, 60% of all the jobs in the world are in the informal economy. Also to win in the next 15 years an end, not an improvement, but an end to violence and harassment in the world of work. And also stronger investments in care services, especially in the public sector. Dear sisters, dear brothers, when we say, as ITUC, it is fighting for democracy, we are fighting for our rights, our safety, our livelihoods. But we are also fighting for solidarity, not just between countries, but also within our unions. And nowhere have we seen more success in recent years in the effort to unite workers than in the domestic workers' movement. That's why we are proud to recognize it not as a separate struggle, but rather a central part, this struggle, your struggle, a central part of our own global trade union movement. Thank you very much, and I wish you a nice conference. I will stay another hour, but then I also have to leave. But I'm really proud of what you have achieved over the last 15 years. Congratulations to all of you.
Thank you, Brother Lutk. Indeed, the victory of one is the victory of all, and you always make sure of that, to name it. Now we will go to hear the voices of our leaders. We are going to show a video, a greeting from our President Carmen, who cannot be here physically with us, but she has sent her greetings. So if we can ask the technical team to please show us the video.
Buenos días. Soy Juana del Carmen Brites, presidenta de la Federación Internacional de Trabajadoras del Hogar. Hoy, en este día tan importante para nuestro sector, primero quiero agradecer a todas las personas y a las organizaciones que pudieron darnos esta posibilidad de hoy estar en este gran evento, en los 15avos de nuestro convenio internacional 189 y su recomendación 201. En primer lugar, agradecer a la OIT y a UTRAN. En segundo lugar, agradecer a la CCI, a la CCA. Y obviamente, en tercer lugar, a nuestras compañeras de la Federación Internacional de Trabajadoras del Hogar y a todo el equipo. Hoy, en este día, como bien dije, es un día muy especial. Son 15 años de lucha por la visibilización del trabajo doméstico como trabajo. Es 15 años de lucha de este gran convenio 189 y su recomendación 201 para su ratificación. Pero no solamente la ratificación de este convenio, sino la implementación que nosotras necesitamos en cada uno de nuestros países. Este convenio 189 y su recomendación para nosotras fueron la herramienta en muchos de nuestros países para poder obtener una ley nacional de protección de derecho al trabajo del hogar. Hoy seguimos luchando por esta visibilidad, seguimos luchando por estos derechos que nos corresponde como cualquier otro trabajador. Por eso, en este día tan importante, agradezco a todo el público presente, agradezco a los empleadores y gobiernos que han acompañado este convenio internacional, pero también las primeras personas que hay que agradecer, que mueven la economía del mundo, son las trabajadoras del hogar. ¡Viva las trabajadoras del hogar! ¡Viva las trabajadoras del mundo! Seguimos luchando por la ratificación y la implementación a nivel mundial de este gran convenio que nos dio la visibilización de las trabajadoras del hogar como trabajadoras y como trabajadoras con derecho. Muchas gracias por estar, muchas gracias por seguir apoyando a nuestra federación para seguir en esta lucha. Todas juntas somos más unidas y sin lucha no hay victoria.
Gracias, Carmen, por enviarnos el video. Now we go to our Vice President June Barrett. June?
Good evening, everyone. I said good evening, everyone. You all look sleepy. Come on, man. You're not going to sleep on my party, the domestic workers' party. No, hell no. So, yes, so good evening. Lovely to see all the beautiful faces, smiles, shade, different shades of folks in the room. And I would like to say a special welcome to you, my brother, Luke. General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation, ITUC, Brother Oliver Ropi, I hope I did pronounce the name correctly, Director of ACTRAV ILO. We are honored by your presence and support in this important 15-year celebration of the Convention of Domestic Workers. Good afternoon, our distinguished guests, our allies, partners, comrades, brothers and sisters in the struggle. To my fellow comrades, colleagues, domestic workers from all regions here in the room with us, domestic workers from Europe, from Africa, Asia, the Caribbean, Latin America, the MENA region, and of course, from North America. To the office bearers, President Carmen, Acting President Toyendapi Duri, our two EXCO members who are here with us this evening, Sister Ruth Diaz and Sister Sonia George, and of course to our General Secretary, Adriana Paz. To all of you, please receive a hearty welcome from the Global Domestic Workers Movement that is gathering here today to celebrate the 15th year anniversary of our convention. So I got so excited I forget to introduce myself. So my name is June Barrett. I'm a long-time domestic worker, started at the very tender age of 9. I am a migrant domestic worker from the island of Jamaica, living in Miami, Florida. I work as a national organizer with the National Domestic Workers Alliance, working with the We Dream in Black, which is an initiative with the National Domestic Workers Alliance. So the IDWF was created 2013 as a beacon of light for domestic workers from around the world, following the historical achievement of the adoption of ILO Convention C-189 on decent work for domestic workers. Our domestic workers' ancestors and sister predecessors in every corner of the world began organizing almost a century ago, united under the banner that domestic work is not only real work, but it is the work that sustains life, the economy. As such, domestic workers are an essential part of the working class, and the labor movement, of course, is our movement. They said that we couldn't organize, that we were a group of workers that were organized, that it was impossible. But look at us now. We are occupying spaces, baby, from the ILO to CSW to all across the globe. We are sitting at the table, and when they do not invite us, we pull up anyway. So today, as we celebrate the 15th anniversary convention, C-189, we also rise to honor the extraordinary heroes and allies who stood with us in this historic struggle. Their courage, their sacrifice, their unwavering solidarity make this victory possible. Let us bring into this space this evening our first president, Merkel Voetbeij, whose leadership and style and determination helped shape our movement. And of course, my sister Yeni from Kola Trove, I think my pronunciation. We honor you, Yeni, and all the leaders in this room. Sophia, we honor you. You were there when this historic moment was passed. And as we celebrate, it's our day, it's our space, it's our time. I save the best for last. May every domestic worker in this room rise to your feet. Every domestic worker, can you stand? If you are a domestic worker, this is your moment, this is your day. Stand. We recognize you. Thank you. I want to remind you.
Viva!
Viva, yes. Thank you.
Estas son, aquí están, las trabajadoras del hogar. Estas son, aquí están, las trabajadoras del hogar. Estas son, aquí están, las que siempre lucharán.
Thank you so much. And may I remind the world that you are the ones who hold societies and families together. You raise children. You care for our elders. You make every household and every workplace function. If we stop, the whole world will stop. You are the ones who make all work possible. And may we remind them again that domestic work is work, and that is real work. A dream of freedom, emancipation, dignity, and respect guided our ancestors to self-organize, often without time, resources, and support, with strong determination, and began the big dream themselves for ourselves. The big dream is no longer a dream. It is a reality, and it is called C-189. Why? Because this convention put us in equality of conditions with workers in other sectors. Because this convention says that we deserve decent working conditions and protections. And because it tells governments and employers that we do not only matter, but that they also have to engage and work with us. Domestic workers' union and organization in what the ILO call social dialogue and tripartism. We went from being unrecognized and invisible to being advocates of from our lives, to being visible, to having a global federation union that brings the voices of our fellow comrades and colleagues to the halls of this institutional house of labor, that is the ILO, to discuss labor standards, rights, and protections for our sectors. We are no longer in the margins of are excluded from these conversations. But we cannot ignore the current state of the world today and the fact that our sector is still among the most vulnerable. I want to especially mention the situation of our sisters in the MENA region, bearing the impact of wars and occupation on top of bearing the injustice of the kafala system that restrict their basic rights and freedom. In these 15 years, we call on three things. To countries, please ratify, not only ratify, but implement the convention. C189, the future of work in your countries depend on the future and conditions of care economy. The care economy is sustained by domestic worker and migrant workers. To employers, please organize yourselves and create domestic workers employers association so we can have you on the other side of the table to seek dialogue and negotiations that will improve our lives together. And to the ILO office, continue supporting us with technical assistance and helping us to build more tables and more chairs that we can sit down with our governments and employers. ACTRAV, keep supporting us to strengthen our grassroots organizing capacity. To our allies, keep walking alongside with us, supporting the sustainability of our movement. And to the IDWF, to my fellow comrades, domestic leaders, let's keep focused and united on one single common goal, the respect and liberation of each and every one of us. To all my domestic workers of the world, I call on us to unite and fight with one strong voice. None of us will be free until we are all free. Let's keep dreaming big for us and for the future of our sector. Unity is strength. There is no clear victory without love and solidarity. Without unity, our great federation will not be sustained. And so this evening, to my allies, I say viva. Keep walking with us. Without you, we need you. We need you. So thank you. And to domestic workers, I say viva.
Viva.
Viva. Viva to domestic workers. Solidarity forever.
Our own technical person, the host is muted. The Zoom cannot hear you, cannot hear us. The IL technical person around, can you unmute the host? IL technical host, can you unmute?
Some interpretation problems in the Zoom. Yeah.
Spanish, it's okay.
Okay. Thank you, Fish, for taking care of the technical matters. With that, we move on to the first panel. Our moderator is Sonia and Claire Hobden. Could you please come in here?
Yes.
Sorry. Good evening, sisters and brothers. As we continue our celebration, we are going into our first panel. I'm Sonia George, and I'm the executive member of committee member of ITWF representing Asia, and I'm from India, Seva, I work with. So this panel is a very important panel for us as we look at 15 years of C-189. Today we are discussing so much about domestic workers, their rights, decent work for domestic workers. I think our movement has played a very significant role in making this a reality to recognize ILO, to recognize domestic workers, our struggles, our voices, our issues, our rights, and recognizing, as most important, is getting recognition as a domestic workers. So we have gone forward a lot. We could get, as it was said in the first session, we could get around 40 ratifications all around the world. Many countries are making laws with regard to domestic workers. In many places, we have minimum wages for domestic workers. Domestic workers are covered under social protection. We are trying to bring the tripartite structure relevant for domestic workers in our own national situations. And as a movement, in very active in 7 regions of the world, working with domestic workers organizations all around the world, I think the struggle have been always converging at different levels in terms of getting rights, access to rights, as we remembered our foremothers, the people who have really initiated the struggle. And as we continue the struggle, it's important for us to think about how it has happened. And I think on one side, as we struggle, we continue to struggle. We have our own history. We have our own experience. We have our own representation in different bodies in our own countries, at the regional levels, in global trade union movements. We have become a global trade union federation. That is a big achievement for us. And also how the International Labour Organization is recognizing us. I think maybe this is a conversation between Claire Hobden. You know Claire very well because she is always with us in all our struggles. We don't feel she is part of ILO. We always feel she is part of us in the National Domestic Workers Federation, IDW. So that's how she supports us in our struggles. So Claire, who is a technical expert in ILO, especially dealing with domestic workers' issues. I think we are happy to have Claire here with us today, along with our General Secretary, Adriana, where this is a conversation where Claire will be explaining about, you know, the achievements, especially in the context of C-189, still challenges. 40 countries only have ratified the convention after 15 years. That is one of the challenges. Still we fight. We are coming from the gender discussions, and we know how much we were struggling there even to put our concerns, even though gender mainstreaming and domestic workers is one of the women-dominated sectors in the world. So I think it's a long struggle, and Claire will explain about that, and also from the history of IDWF, our General Secretary Adriana will also, on par with Claire's experiences with, recognition, decent work, and the issues surrounding it, we will hear from the experiences of our own struggle and how do we converge this to move forward in terms of more recognition, more representation, and involving us more in the decision-making processes. So thank you so much, Claire. Maybe you can start sharing your concerns. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sonia. It's a real honor to be here. It's hard to believe that it's been 15 years since the convention was adopted. I recognize so many of you, and it's always a pleasure to continue to be a part of this movement. I'm going to speak a little bit about, as you say, what we've seen in terms of progress in the last 15 years with respect to the convention and the rights of domestic workers. And I think first and foremost, as we all know, that Convention 189 really changed the conversation on domestic work. For centuries, domestic workers had worked behind closed doors and were not recognized for the work that they did or the services that they provided. And Convention 189, for the first time, recognized domestic work as work and that domestic workers had rights and that those rights should be equal to those of other workers. Now, in 2021, after 10 years, the ILO took stock of the progress that was made in achieving the principles that were set out in the convention. We produced estimates. We counted the number of domestic workers. We found that there were 75, 76 million of them over the age of 15. And we also tracked the number of countries that had adopted laws or policies after the adoption of the convention. And we found that in 2021, around 88% of countries actually recognized domestic work in the law to some degree or another. There was an increase over 10 years of 15 percentage points in the number of domestic workers who were covered by those laws. And there were also new collective bargaining agreements that had been achieved, which was not a small achievement for domestic workers. We also saw improvements in specific laws, so more domestic workers had the right to a minimum wage, their limits on working time were established, and they were getting more rights to Social Security. So I think these are really huge improvements, and though they might seem small to some, I think it's quite major, actually, in a 10-year period to see such a big change. But we also see that those rights are having a hard time translating into practice. In reality, in 2021, we knew that 81% of domestic workers were working informally, meaning that they did not have access to their rights. There were domestic workers earned only 54% of the average wages of other workers, and they tended to work either very long or very short hours. Domestic workers are also recognized as being among the sectors that are most exposed to the risks of forced labor. And it's one of the occupations of many child labor, of children who are in child labor working as domestic workers. So domestic workers are really a group that faces some of the most serious human rights obstacles among all workers. So the challenges are quite significant. And 15 years after the adoption of the convention, as we heard our earlier speakers say, the world is not the same as it was even 5 years ago. There are dynamics in motion now that are new to many of us, familiar to others, but that certainly affect the working conditions of domestic workers. So some of those changes relate to demographic change, some to digital transformation, and some to climate shocks, as well as other forms of crises, including war and conflict. I think one big issue that we discussed last year was the fact that the care economy and the care crisis have really come into sharp focus. So in many countries, you see aging populations and more families that need to take care of their children and their parents or their aging relatives. But there are fewer in the workforce in those countries is also shrinking. So there are fewer and fewer workers who are available to do the work. So as a result, there are a lot of domestic workers, mostly women, who are migrating to fill those care roles. We understand that domestic work is care work. Domestic workers provide both direct care services, meaning the care to the elderly, to children, to persons with disabilities in need of care and support. And they also provide indirect care services like cleaning and cooking that are essential to the well-being of people. In that sense, we really do recognize that domestic workers should be included in care policies, and should also be considered part of the care workforce, meaning that they are people who are providing care services. So in terms of demographic change, a lot has changed, but at the same time, we are starting to become on the pathway towards ensuring that domestic workers are recognized as care workers. in a sense, there are more and more governments that are looking at care policies, but at the same time, they're not recognizing the rights of domestic workers. So there's an important gap there that needs to be filled. In terms of digital transformation, we know that digital platforms in some countries are playing more and more of a role in placing domestic workers. This has a lot of different consequences for different domestic workers in different countries, and it's certainly an area that is being addressed right now at this International Labour Conference with respect to platform workers in all sectors. And then there's the climate change and crisis that's really accentuating the movements of people, and women in particular, to take up domestic work jobs around the world in terms of the climate change and climate crisis. And it's also keeping certain domestic workers in place when crisis is happening, and it's preventing them from being able to return home to their families. So there are a lot of issues here that I think are getting worse as the years have gone by recently. But at the same time, we see that there's a huge amount of progress that's been made, notably in terms of the organizing efforts, and we see that in the growing number of domestic workers who are represented by the International Domestic Workers Federation. So 15 years ago, international standards were set. The world may have changed, but the principles of C-189 have not. Domestic workers still deserve the same rights as other workers, so it's really an instrument of equality. They still deserve their rights to be applied in practice, so it's still an instrument of formalization. And rights should still be adopted through social dialogue that includes the voices of domestic workers and employers of domestic workers, as stated in the convention. So again, as the principles have not changed, and there has been continued momentum on the rights of domestic workers in the last 15 years, but we can't let that momentum fade. And we have to keep adapting our strategies to the changing realities. So in the coming months, in September, the ILO will be issuing new global estimates on the number of domestic workers and on the extent of protection, particularly on the working conditions of domestic workers. We continue to work on supporting ILO constituents towards the adoption of laws and policies, and I think there needs to be a particular emphasis on implementing those rights in the new era of care and in these changing moments of digital transformation, demographic transition, and all the issues related to climate change. So just to end, I think it's just important to recognize that underlying all these challenges, there are really these persistent social norms, that domestic work is not real work, that really underpin all of the challenges in implementation. When domestic workers organize, they show what the sector is capable of. They demonstrate what domestic workers do on a day-to-day basis by organizing with care. And I think that we need to keep hearing the voices of domestic workers and their organizing efforts to be able to keep moving governments to adopt laws and policies. Where the challenges remain in terms of care, there's also a really strong need to continue to change the social norms that underlie care in general, and unpaid care work and paid care work. We know that domestic workers are performing that work for themselves in their own homes as well as in the work that they're doing. So I really hope that that through these efforts with the ILO, together with the International Domestic Workers Federation, that we can work on changing those underpinning social norms to improve the implementation of the convention and achieve and make decent work a reality for domestic workers. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Claire, for bringing us through the history, the significance of the convention, and also the challenges that we are facing now in the context of the changing world of work and how domestic workers at different levels in terms of platform, climate change, care economy, how they are facing different forms of challenges and how that could be included in our policy activities, lobbying, advocacy activities. Thank you so much. From here, I would like to pass the mic to Adriana to continue the same discussion from IDWF's perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonia. Thank you so much, Claire. You had to sneak out from the platform discussions, and Claire is in platform. In the most difficult one, and I know you are sleep deprived, and yet you are still here for us in our celebration. As Sonia said, you have never left us. You have been with us from the beginning. I appreciate that, and I don't take it for granted, Claire. So I'm going to speak about Convention C189, about IDWF then and today, and about looking forward, how the next 15 years for domestic workers could look like. So Convention C189, everybody says that it was a historic convention because it was a revolutionary convention, that it brought for the first time into the ILO a labor feminist agenda, recognizing that domestic work is not only work, but is a fundamental work, and that is a productive work. Often has been regarded as a reproductive work, but is a productive work. So this revolutionizes how do we think about work and how do we think about a labor feminist agenda. Domestic work, as Vice President June said, domestic work makes all the other work possible. But to have recognition in the big house of labor, it changed history since then. Also, it's a revolutionary process because it was a bottom-up process. The first seeds of dreaming on an international convention started already in the different countries. It started this big seed in Latin America when the Latin American and Caribbean Domestic Workers Confederation started in the early 2000s, started to lobby to the ILO and to the women's group of TUCA to put forward the idea to have a convention. That historical date, it's called the Montevideo Declaration, because it was a meeting in Montevideo, Uruguay, where the Latin American domestic workers said, it is time that we are recognized. Since 2005, then, as the movement started to progress, it found echo with domestic workers from all over the world. Una golondrina no hace verano. It was needed the support and the muscle of domestic workers from every continent to come together, to articulate into a big global movement, to come and to take over the ILO and to make sure that domestic workers were going to achieve a convention. A whole process of mobilizing in their countries, mobilizing unions, and speaking with their employers began. So by 2010 and 2011, the discussions on the conventions took place. And many of you have been in those discussions. I also want to acknowledge the presence of a domestic worker leader who is still a domestic worker from Colombia, one of the founders of the Latin American and Caribbean Domestic Workers Confederation, that is still with us and alive and working as a domestic workers and in the movement. Jenny Hurtado, por favor, párate, porque te queremos reconocer ahora que estás viva. It was the visionary an internationalist vision of domestic workers that brought the idea to have not only a regional confederation, but also an international union that will bring together all the sisters around the world. I also want to really ask Sophia and Fish to stand up because you have been part of this process since as early 2008, six, Sophia Treviño. And to many of the domestic workers that have been part of that process please stand up, the ones that have been in the hallways of the convention, that were giving speeches, that were loving their governments, and that were from the beginning. It is very unbelievable that 15 years later we are here shaping and discussing important conversations in the world of work, such as social dialogue and tripartism. You are in the committees of the platform economy. You are in the committees of the gender transformative agenda. That was the dream of ITWF when it was created, that domestic workers have a global voice to participate, negotiate, bring proposals, and bring the perspective of the women that care for the world. IDWF was founded in 2013, and it started with 39 countries, 48 affiliates, 282,000 individual domestic workers. 13 years later, IDWF is the house of 95 domestic workers unions and associations in 74 countries, and we have about 700,000 domestic workers individually in these unions. This is huge. Every domestic worker here knows how difficult it is to bring one single domestic worker into the union. Now imagine thousands of domestic workers. Yet, I know domestic workers dream big. There are 75 million domestic workers in the world, and IDWF is not going to stop until we represent the majority of these millions of domestic workers. So the task is huge. But it's possible. It's possible thanks to the support of amazing allies, such as Warrior Claire Hobdens, that are in the ILO helping us. I see Gladys Cisneros from ILO Migration. It could not be possible, the work and the organizing of migrant domestic workers in the countries where there is still no recognition, and also partners and allies, to help us to continue sustaining the dream of the domestic workers. It is a global union federation that must exist and must to be strengthened, and it must to be supported. Our strategies keep being leadership building by centering care and self-care of the domestic workers, capacity building of technical and political skills of the leaders so they can sit at the table and negotiate, propose, reject, and accept proposals from the government, to talk with employers. We also want to change the socio-cultural norms that still see domestic workers as not real workers. How it looks the future? How do we look forward? And I think I'm going to repeat what Oliver, what Luke, and what Claire said. We want to keep growing. We want to keep affiliating domestic workers. We want to bring down the huge statistics on informality, on child labor, and forced labor. We want to keep building and sustaining social dialogue spaces where domestic workers leaders can engage in negotiations. We want protection and recognition of freedom of association for domestic workers, especially in the countries where there is no freedom of association. We want the formalization and the revalorization of the domestic work. We want effective inclusion of domestic workers into every national care system and plan in the countries. And above all, we want that society really recognize that the women that care for the world must be care and must be implementing the laws and the policies that exist for them. Still, the promise of the law is still promising domestic workers a better life, and we're going to make sure that we're going to do that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you so much, Adriana. So it was a real history. It was a live history that we experienced with our leaders who are already here. We all were part of different stages of our struggle in different forms, in different countries, in different realities, and from their steps. We were going ahead in terms of recognition, in going ahead in terms of visibility. I think that is one of the important things. Wherever we go, in every ILO meetings, in all ILO standard setting agendas, domestic workers are there. We are in care, we are in migration, We are in child labor, as Adriana said. No, we have our goals going forward and setting agendas for our future work, getting more recognition with more evidences, with more research, with more inclusion in policies, with more inclusion in legislative rights that we are supposed to get, including social protection and also freedom of association. And I think it is important for us that we work with a very sensitive area, our workplace, because private home is our workplace, and that is the most sensitive part of our rights. And that is where we have achieved this much. And I think many people are with us, many organizations are with us, internationally, regionally, and nationally in this fight. So I think, thank you both, Claire and Adriana, to bring this perspective of our struggles and to be with us in the entire process of continuing our struggle with the strong leaders, with the visibility and representation of the strong leaders we are having. So thank you so much for being part of this panel. And I'm thanking both of you on behalf of our federation and all of us present here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ahora cambio al español y seguimos con el programa, que es el panel de voces globales del Movimiento de Trabajadoras del Hogar, que es moderado por la compañera Ruth Díaz. Y adelante, compañeras Marisa, Cleide, ¿dónde está? Aida, creo que está, Sonia, y tenemos a compañeras que se van a unir en el Zoom. Un saludo especial a Ernestina Ochoa, que nos está escuchando, que fue nuestra primera vicepresidenta y que también fue parte de este evento.
Bueno, muchísimas gracias, de verdad, todo lo que se han dado cita. Sabemos que las comisiones están bien activas y sin embargo se han dado cita aquí. Líderes de todas partes del mundo que tenemos, como veo, secretarios generales de Guatemala, de la República Dominicana, entre otros. Muchísimas gracias también a los sindicatos que son hermanos nuestros, como aquí representa Hualesca, y las cuatro redes, como siempre le llamamos. De Bélgica, o sea, tenemos un auditorio muy especial. Sin embargo, me gustaría, así como nuestra secretaria general acaba de hacer el recuento histórico, poder reflejar en imágenes eso que más que palabras pudiéramos nosotros ver y disfrutar de un valioso video que ha preparado desde la Secretaría Técnica, desde la Secretaría General de nuestra gloriosa FIT, Federación Internacional de Trabajadoras del Hogar. Si pudiéramos disfrutar de ese video. Aquí también está Mari Carmen con nosotros desde México. Bienvenidas, de verdad.
Eduardo, ¿podrías pasar el video, por favor?
¿Dónde están los sindicalistas de Costa Rica? Mientras nos ponen el video. De verdad, bienvenidos, bienvenidas. De todo.
Aprovecho nada más para decir que este video será lanzado el domingo. Por eso le falta traducción, pero va a salir.
Esto es en vivo. Mientras tanto, demos un aplauso, porque esto es una celebración. Esto no es un simple encuentro.
My dream is to have domestic workers have rights and be respected.
For generations.
regions, domestic workers kept homes, families, and entire economies running.
Domestic workers have, until now, remained invisible and generally unprotected.
But across kitchens, living rooms, and borders, something powerful was growing. Domestic workers began organizing, building collective power across the world. In 2011, after years of organizing, mobilizing, and relentless pressure, domestic workers arrived at the International Labor Conference. They arrived as workers, as organizers, as negotiators, as leaders shaping history with their own voices and demands.
My name is Esther Stevens, and I'm a full-time domestic worker.
I quiero decir que las trabajadoras domésticas somos parte de miles de mujeres.
Our sisters, they did not get their wages and their recognition 4 years, 7 years, 12 years, 8 years, no rest, no proper food.
And then came a historic turning point. The domestic workers' movement won global recognition. Convention 189 and Recommendation 201 were adopted.
The historic and landmark moment in the lives of domestic workers throughout the world.
Has become such a strong weapon for us.
But the fight did not stop there. From convention to movement building, domestic workers organized globally, changed laws and policies, defended migrant domestic workers facing abuse, exploitation, and violence.
We must recognize millions of migrant workers' contribution to provide mutual help and immediate support for fellow migrant domestic workers. Migration without rights is exploitation.
They fought for dignity, for protection against violence and harassment, and for the recognition that care work sustains every society and every economy.
Promover el reconocimiento del trabajo de cuidado y garantizar el derecho de cuidado como parte esencial de la sociedad.
Domestic workers became part of global labor governance. What began as a fight to be recognized as workers became something much bigger, a permanent presence in the international labor movement. Domestic workers claimed space in rooms where decisions are made. They transformed debates, challenged systems built on exclusion, and reshaped the future of labor with the voices of workers who were once unheard. 15 years later, the struggle continues. Millions of domestic workers still lack rights, protections, and decent work. But the movement is stronger than ever.
We often say in our movement that care work, domestic work, is the work that makes all other work possible. I ask you to always think, care for those who care for you.
Bravo, mucha emoción en las redes. con toda nuestra dirigencia que está aquí a nivel global y a nivel latinoamericano también. Yo quisiera que ahora pasáramos a una parte muy especial, que son las voces de las líderes, las voces que han hecho posible a través de sus manos, desde el latido de sus corazones, lo que pudimos ver en esa pantalla a través de ese video. Y me honra mucho poder presentar a una gran líder, una mujer que me llena de orgullo. Es una brasilera. Una brasilera, compañera nuestra, destacada líder sindical y activista, reconocida no solo en su país, sino internacionalmente por su labor en defensa de los derechos de los y las trabajadoras, no solamente del sector doméstico, sino en su país, codo a codo con el movimiento sindical. Se ha concebido como la secretaria general de lo que conocemos como la Colatrao, una institución que está desde el 1988 reivindicando los derechos de los y las trabajadoras del hogar y que también nos enorgullece saber que es secretaria general de la FENATRAT en su país. Con nosotros la compañera Cleidy Pinto para hablar un poco de la visión de América Latina, que es una de las regiones que componen la Federación Internacional de Trabajadoras del Hogar. Vamos a recibirla con un fuerte, fuerte aplauso.
Boa tarde. Me escutam?
Sim. Sí.
Boa tarde, companheiras. Eu só tenho 5 minutos, mas eu vou pegar 1 minutinho desse tempo para pedir todas as companheiras que levantem. E a gente merece uma salva de palmas por esses 15 anos de luta. Anos de luta pela 189, né? Porque nós temos mais de 100 anos, né, de luta para ser reconhecida como os trabalhadoras e trabalhadores.
E temos 15 anos de luta por la norma, pero la verdad llevamos más de 100 años de lucha como trabajadores y trabajadores.
E o que destaca é a gente sempre pensar em quem começou isso tudo, né? Das mais velhas, de quem lutou para que hoje a gente tenha uma federação e uma confederação, né? E mais de quantos, mais de milhões de sindicatos se contar em todo mundo, né? Então, isso é um momento histórico. São nós, como trabalhadoras domésticas, a gente é exemplo para outros segmentos, outras categorias.
Ele disse que se emociona pensar que todas nós que venimos lutando desde há muito tempo, as mais antigas, por toda a federação e confederação de trabalhadores e trabalhadoras.
E na parte da 189, não tem como a gente não destacar, né, a Colatrao, porque lá em 2011 estava lá junto com as trabalhadoras, com outras regiões, né, mas a região da América Latina, quem estava de frente era a Colatrao, junto com os seus sindicatos.
Tenho que destacar a 189 e também destacar que na América Latina, quem estava adiante era a Colatrao.
E dá um orgulho, né, da gente estava nesse espaço e agora 15 anos e conseguimos avançar mais ainda, que temos também agora uma federação, né? Depois da Colatrao, a gente tínhamos uma confederação. E agora a gente tem uma federação. Cada dia que passa, a gente cresce mais, né?
E tenho muito orgulho de que há 15 anos tenía una confederación y hoy día tiene una federación y avanzan cada día más.
Mas para isso continuar crescendo, o principal é a gente caminhar juntas. Federação, confederação, sindicato, federações nacionais. A gente sempre pensar no bem comum, sempre pensar no bem da categoria.
Y para eso, para que sigamos avanzando es que trabajemos todos juntos como federación, confederación y todos los tipos de unidades de trabajadores y trabajadoras.
É isso que nos fortalece. O que nos fortalece é estar, meu irmão, é estarmos assim, ó. Não pensar em mim. Eu não estou aqui, Cleide. Não é Cleide que está aqui. Quem está aqui é a Colatral. Quem está aqui é a FIT. Quem está aqui é a Senatrade, porque eu sou brasileira. Se a gente pensar assim, vamos conseguir muita coisa. Vamos conseguir chegar, sair da invisibilidade e ser respeitada como trabalhadoras e trabalhadores que tem poucos, mas tem. É isso que a gente tem que botar sempre na nossa cabeça. Não é Cleide que está aqui, não. É a FIT, é a Fenatrade, porque eu sou brasileira, eu tenho uma federação também nacional, e a Colatral. Isso que vai nos fortalecer, isso que vai nos manter firme e vai conseguir combater, porque de outras categorias, porque quem está no governo, quem está nos espaços, são nossos patrões, na maioria. Então, a gente tem que se unir, temos que sempre que manter assim, né? Juntas, dialogando, e fazendo esses eventos, né, juntas e sempre pensando positivo e acompanhando o nosso crescimento, que não foi pequeno nesses 15 anos.
Isso é o que nos fortalece, estar assim, unidas, juntas, de dar de las manos e para que sigamos avançando. Que aqui não sou eu quem estou, somos nós outras, que estamos todas juntas, representando a uma unidade, como Colatral, por exemplo.
Gracias. Quiero destacar
que de los 40 países que se han señalado aquí para que ya han ratificado en el mundo, 18 son de América Latina y esperamos que el próximo país, el número 41, esté por Honduras o esté por Guatemala. Estamos haciendo los esfuerzos, ¿verdad?, desde América Latina y deseando que permeemos del 189 todas las naciones que componen este globo terráqueo. Así que muchísimas gracias, Cleide, por esas palabras. Yo quisiera pasar a mi hermana y compañera Sonia George, que ha estado compartiendo con nosotros. Sonia es un miembro del ESCO, vicepresidente de una de las de los movimientos de mujeres más fuerte que existe en nuestro planeta desde Asia, es CEWA. Es conocida tradicionalmente por mujeres combatientes, mujeres de mucha vanguardia. Sonia, un honor, un placer poder estar compartiendo contigo este escenario, hermana y compañera, con ustedes, nuestra representante de Asia. Un fuerte aplauso para ella.
Thank you, sisters and brothers. Very proud to be part of this moment and also part of this movement. As we celebrate the 15 years of UN-99, let me bring greetings to all of you from International Domestic Workers Federation, especially from the Asia region. All of us know Asia is also one of the active founder members in the Domestic Workers Federation with the most representative unions of domestic workers in the country, and I'm proud that I'm also representing. I'm representing the most representative or most members union in IDW. Of the union I represent has around 300,000 domestic workers, and our membership is increasing every day as domestic workers. So we are very proud to be part of this movement representing Asia, where we have at present 19 affiliates, and we are present. Our presence is in 12 countries, and around 40% of the world's domestic workers are from Asia. And so for us, it is very important for us. And we are not organized in as in other parts of the world. That is one of the challenges that we face, especially the kind of migration that we face in terms of local and cross-border migration. That is a big challenge for us. Amidst that, many of our migrant workers have organized themselves in the destination countries, who are so powerful leaders of that countries, representing the movement in the destination countries, leading domestic workers in their struggles. And that is one of the rarest kind of organizing that we see within the International Domestic Workers Federation, as organizing locally local domestic workers is much easier than organizing migrant domestic workers. But many of our unions in Southeast Asia, they have their own unions in the destination. They have network of unions of countries in the destination countries, and that is one of the biggest achievements that we could say. And we hope, we have worked a lot in terms of getting recognition for migrant domestic workers in countries like Thailand, in terms of getting recognition as workers, in terms of fixed timings for migrant domestic workers, minimum wages for migrant domestic workers. These are all big struggles that the Asian domestic workers movement is involved in, and we have achieved and gone forward a lot in terms of achieving that. And also, one of the things that, and maybe one of the challenges that, if when we celebrate our victories, we should remind ourselves about the challenges that we are facing in terms of getting recognition for domestic workers. In Asia, only one country till now has ratified Convention 189. That is only Philippines have ratified 189, and that is one of the biggest challenges that we face. So we need, in the coming years, more countries to ratify Convention 189 and to bring domestic workers law. And all of you have heard that recently, last month, Indonesian government has passed a domestic workers bill. That is one of the biggest achievements recently that we have got. For more than 20 years of struggle in Indonesia, our domestic workers affiliates movements, they have led the struggle in Indonesia to get the country bill passed for the domestic workers in Indonesia. And that has been one of the recent victories that we have been celebrating in the movement. So we have great leaders. All of us know our previous general secretary of the movement, Elizabeth Tang. She is from Asia, and she has been leading the movement along with Fish from the beginning of the movement in terms of organizing domestic workers in South Asia, Southeast Asia, and East Asia. And the movement is getting strengthened all over Asia with efficient advocacy activities that we are conducting in different parts of the countries, and the care economy study that we have done in different countries in Asia was a path-breaking exercise in terms of understanding the needs of the care economy workers, and also societies, countries' attitudes towards care economy, and that has been used as a major evidence for engaging in care-related policies regionally and internationally. So I think there are a lot of achievements, there are a lot of positive vibes that is presently in Asia, and we are developing good leaders. We want domestic workers to lead the movement. We want domestic workers to take the movement forward with great spirit, visibility, and representation, with more recognition in countries, with more active participation of us in the decision-making process in different countries. And for us, as I have been saying, getting recognition inside the home, and home as a workplace, is one of the biggest challenges again we face when we come to national laws. So I think this is what we have been struggling. And again, on behalf of all our representatives, and we have Jack, my co-representative in the International Domestic Workers Federation, we are happy to be part of this process along with our staff, Fish, Reina, and also Baria. We are working as a team to take this movement forward in Asia. Thank you so much.
Muchas gracias, Sonia, por ese panorama tan impresionante que llevan en Asia. Me gustaría que ahora, para darle la connotación híbrida que tenemos a este panel y a esta actividad, que pudiéramos irnos al Zoom. Para la región de MENA. ¿Está con nosotros Marianne? ¿Está conectada? Bueno, Marianne es miembro del Ejecutivo de la Federación Internacional de Trabajadoras del Hogar. Es una destacada activista laboral y líder internacional reconocida principalmente por su defensa de los derechos de los trabajadores migrantes y del trabajo doméstico. Es la presidenta fundadora de la Asociación de Trabajadoras Domésticas de Kuwait. Ha sido una voz internacional contra el sistema CADAFA y patrocinio del Oriente Medio, el cual como trabajadora del hogar es totalmente vulnerable a los abusos. Aquí prácticamente son heroínas. Es un tema de sobrevivencia que viven librando en el Oriente Medio estas compañeras. Por eso yo quisiera que con un fuerte, fuerte abrazo, a través de nuestros aplausos, podamos recibir en las pantallas a nuestra compañera Mary. Un aplauso para ella.
As we commemorate 15 years of ILO Convention 189, our collective journey toward dignity, rights, and recognition. I am Anna Bunda, one of the executive committee of IDWF MENA region, where I worked for 25 years as migrant domestic worker, a leader, advocate, and organizer. ILO Convention 189 gave us domestic workers something we struggled for many years to achieve. Recognition that we are workers and that our work has value. Before 189, before C189, many of us were simply called helpers or maids. Because of that, our work was often excluded from labor laws, and many people believed that what happened inside a private home was a private matter. Domestic workers work long hours and no rest days, faced abuses, exploitation, and often had no words for it to help. As migrant domestic worker and a leader in the MENA region, C189 gave us a language to claim our rights. It gave us a global standard that we could use when speaking to governments, employers, recruitment agencies, in international organizations. For the first time, we could say, these are not special privileges we are asking for. These are internationally recognized rights. In my experience as an organizer and an executive committee of IDWF for MENA, C189 also helped domestic workers become more confident in speaking up. Workers started asking questions about their contracts, wages, rest days, freedom of movement, and access to justice. Many learned that what they experienced was not normal and should not be accepted. While many challenges remain, especially for migrant domestic workers under sponsorship system or kafala system and restrictive migration policies, C189 has strengthened our movement. It helped bring domestic workers from the margins into national, regional, and global conversations. It gave us hope, legitimacy, and a stronger voice to continue fighting for dignity, rights, and recognition. For many of us, C189 was not just a convention. It was a proof that the world finally recognized that domestic work is work. Thank you, Sisu.
Gracias, Mary. Pedimos disculpas porque no hubo una traducción. Parece que los intérpretes pidieron disculpa, pero realmente esta región de MENA es una de las últimas que entró de las seis que tenemos en la federación. Y hacer sindicalismo ahí en cualquier connotación de cualquier área laboral es un desafío, es un reto y pagan muchas veces con la vida. Imagínense un trabajo como el trabajo doméstico, que es tan vulnerable en todas las partes del mundo, aún con la libertad que se puedan ejercer. Por eso, de verdad, a Mary le un aplauso más, de verdad, por ese esfuerzo con ese cambio de horario que también está haciendo y estar aquí. Y nos vamos para la región que precisamente estamos pisando aquí con mi hermana Marisa Begonia, nos vamos para Europa. Quien va a hablar en nombre de Europa es una organizadora comunitaria y activista, actualmente vicepresidenta del sector del trabajo doméstico de la Federación Europea de la Alimentación, Agricultura y Turismo, EDFA. Marisa es una orgullosa madre soltera de 3 hijos, viajó desde Filipinas, es una mujer migrante, Singapur, Hong Kong, el Reino Unido, en busca de una mejor vida, una vida digna, comprometedora. Es la fundadora y directora de Voces de las Trabajadoras del Hogar y anteriormente conocida como Justicia para Trabajo Doméstico. Es una calificada mujer que hoy recibimos con un fuerte aplauso desde las entrañas de la migración hasta Europa. Muchísimas gracias, Marisa, por estar con nosotros. Un fuerte aplauso para ti, los micrófonos.
Thank you, my sister. I know you had a grand introduction of me, so I don't need to introduce myself. So what the difference? I'm here on behalf of Europe. What difference ILO C-189 made in Europe and the UK? 15 years ago, I sat in the ILO negotiating room as a delegate. I remember physically taking a seat at the table of governments who were opposing every article of Convention 189. During the lunch and dinner, I looked them in the eye and told them what this convention meant for me and for my fellow domestic workers. I told them that for once in their lives, they should do the right thing. That moment changed me, and today, being here 15 years later, the significance is overwhelming. What C-189 changed in Europe? ILO C-189 became the first global recognition that domestic workers are workers deserving of rights, dignity, and protection. In Europe, it sparked a wave of legal reforms and political recognition. To date, 11 EU countries and 9 of these 11 are EU member states have ratified C-189. So they are Switzerland, Spain, ratification created a stronger labor protection, clearer employment contracts, limits of working hours, access to social security, recognition of domestic work as real work. Across Europe, C-189 gave domestic workers a legal and moral foundation to organize, unionize, and demand change. It shifted the narrative from invisibility to visibility. Domestic work also became the fourth sector of the European Federation of Food, Agriculture, and Tourism, and of course now domestic work. It has given almost 10 million domestic workers and care workers trade union backing and a voice. In the UK, however, it's a painful contrast, but also a story of strength. The UK chose not to ratify C-189 wars. In the following year, the world celebrated this historic victory. The UK government removed the rights of migrant domestic workers on the overseas domestic worker visa. Rights that the UN itself recognized as the strongest protection against abuse and exploitation. For us in the UK, C-189 became both a symbol of what we want globally and a reminder of what was taken for us at home. But here is the truth the government did not expect. Removing our rights did not weaken us. It radicalized us. It organized us. It united us. Today, the UK has something powerful and historic. As established, migrant domestic workers branch, Unite Branch 9225.
When I look at 2011, I remember the exhaustion, the fear, the determination, the moment we realized we were making history. I remember finding for every word that convention. I remember the governments who tried to block us. I remember the tears that we finally won. And now, 15 years later, I stand here, not just as a witness of that history, but as a proof that domestic workers do not give up. The presence today is emotional for me because I know how far we have come. It is significant because I know how far we still have to go. And this is powerful because I am surrounded by a movement that is stronger than ever. It's okay. Thank you. Hasta
luego. Gracias, Marisa. Muchas gracias. Pero nos vamos hacia el otro lado del mundo, África. La región que todo lo celebra con danza, con el corazón en la mano. Y me parece que está Asata en las redes. Asata, ¿estás conectada en Zoom? Asata es una miembro de nuestro comité ejecutivo, secretaria general. Desde el 2010 en su sindicato. Hola, Asata, hermana querida. Tus esfuerzos han garantizado que cada trabajador doméstico... ¿Me escuchas, Asata?
Sí.
Te damos la bienvenida, Asata, con, de verdad, con la gallardía que siempre has representado este sector, el sector del trabajo del hogar. Gracias a ti, muchos millones de mujeres a nivel mundial han podido gozar de la ratificación, no solo del 189, sino también del 190. Podamos aplaudir a nuestra compañera Asata, que se une a nosotros gracias a la tecnología. Con ustedes, Asata Sa.
¡Viva!
¡Viva!
Merci et je vous remercie sincèrement et pour cette opportunité de prendre la parole à cette importante table d'honneur qui représente les travaux domestiques, chose qui n'est pas faisable avant, mais maintenant c'est faisable. Donc, comme avancé au niveau de ma région, la convention 189 de l'OIT et a représenté une avancée historique et une victoire syndicale dans la lutte de la reconnaissance de la protection des travailleurs domestiques, y compris les travailleurs domestiques migrants à travers les organisations syndicales. Et la protection syndicale, la protection des travailleurs domestiques migrants dans notre région a été possible par cette convention. Et vous n'êtes pas sans savoir que pendant de nombreuses années, ces travailleurs domestiques, migrants, majoritairement des femmes, ont été invisibles, marginalisés, privés de leurs droits fondamentaux et ont subi l'exploitation, les abus, les discriminations, les violences et des conditions de travail souvent inhumaines. Et grâce à la convention 1689, la communauté internationale avait enfin reconnu que les travailleurs domestiques sont des travailleurs à part entière et qui peuvent partir à la migration et dans toutes les conditions qu'ils le font. Et ils sont libres de faire la migration et de travailler dans des conditions dignes. Grâce à cette convention, nous avons eu la lutte facile pour l'octroi, par exemple, des comptes A du travail, pour le compte A du travail, et pour, et j'arrive, pour avoir des salaires justes et équitables, des horaires de travail réglementés, l'accès au repos et au congé, l'accès à la protection sociale, La protection contre les violences et harcèlements ainsi que le respect de la dignité et des droits syndicaux des travailleurs domestiques général et migrants, internes et externes. Dans notre région, la convention a également permis de renforcer les organisations syndicales et les mouvements des travailleurs domestiques qui constituent aujourd'hui un puissant outil de plaidoyer pour interpeller les gouvernements, sensibiliser les employeurs et les autorités compétentes pour la défense des victimes d'exploitation. Et cette convention a également permis aux nombreux syndicats de la région Afrique d'engager un dialogue et un plaidoyer auprès des autorités publiques pour sa ratification. Et beaucoup de confédérations syndicales en Afrique ont inscrit la ratification de la Convention 189 parmi les principales revendications transmises au gouvernement lors des fêtes de la veille du 1er mai. J'espère alors.
Asata, vamos a con un fuerte aplauso a nuestra hermana Asata.
Dans plusieurs pays de notre région, la convention n'a pas été toujours ratifiée ni pleinement appliquée. Sur 54 pays africains, seuls l'Afrique du Sud, la Namibie, la Guinée-Conakry, l'île Maurice, Sierra Leone, la Côte d'Ivoire et Madagascar ont ratifié la convention.
Merci Asata.
Doit se poursuivre à encore plus de détermination, d'unité et de solidarité pour la mise en application effective à tous les niveaux. Pour les 15 prochaines années, mes rêves étaient d'avoir un mouvement syndical uni et pour que le travail des gens soit une réalité pour tous les travailleurs domestiques, internes, migrants, externes et internes. Viva!
Viva! Y muchísimas gracias, Ata. Con los pocos minutos que nos quedan, ya estamos terminando este panel. Quisiera que Aida LeBlanc pudiera dirigirse a nosotros y dar un saludo en nombre del Caribe. Aida estuvo ahora mismo malita, viene de enfermería, pero no queríamos dejar que su voz no fuera escuchada. Quizás con un minuto que se pueda dirigir a la sala y saludar este evento. Desde el Caribe, Aida LeBlanc.
Good afternoon, sisters and brothers. It is a pleasure to be here this afternoon. I was one of the members, first set of members, to go to the ILO to speak about domestic workers and also to call on governments around the world to recognize domestic workers as workers. I'm so happy in particular seeing my Latin America comrades who were also there. You know, even self we couldn't understand each other, but a language of love and togetherness, we had a lot of that. So that I was able to go back to my country and call on my government to recognize domestic as workers. But to date, I'm still fighting a battle to get recognition for domestic workers because it is very difficult in Trinidad. But we also win we had other victories. For example, domestic workers are covered under the Maternity Protection Act. They are included under the Minimum Wages Act. They get vacation leave and sick leave and other things that all other workers in the country get under the minimum wages law. We also So we continue the struggle and fight because our main victory is to get domestic workers recognized as workers. in our country. Thank you very much.
Así cerramos este hermoso panel, Voces de las Trabajadoras del Hogar. Jenny, estas flores son para ti, en representación de todas las trabajadoras del mundo, por fundar Colatra, por ser parte de la Fundación de la FIR. Muchas gracias.
They wanted it back.
Thank you so much, Ruth, for such and Sister Sonia for moderating such stellar panels. So now we are going to move into our second panel on cross-sectoral work and international solidarity. And may I remind the speaker that you only have 8 minutes, and we'll have 1 minute of wrap-up time before. So, in the interest of time, we are going to move in. It is my biggest pleasure to moderate this panel with some of our longstanding allies since the beginning of our journey and dream of us to create a global federation of domestic workers. I think Sister Barbara is joining us online. So, Sister Barbara Bodden, former IUF gender specialist in IUF. And if you know Sister Barbara, you will know that she is as fierce and sweet as radical when it comes to defend women workers. The late Brother Dan Gallin entrusted Barbara to support IDWF. Without her, we could not have been born. So welcome, my Sister Barbara. So the vision of IUF always was to support the self-organizing of domestic workers. They enable us to be born as an independent organization and without working with us until today, supporting our consolidation. Barbara, again, it is my pleasure and honor to welcome you into this space, to this panel. And my sister Anna, from our brothers and sisters from the Building and Woodworkers, BWI, you are our partners in the struggle for the plight of migrant workers in the MENA region and GCC countries. Without these alliance with you, we could not have started and sustained our organizing in one of the most difficult regions to organize. Rights and protection for domestic workers. Again, it is my honor to welcome you. And of course, my sister Laura.
International Coordinator of WIGO. WIGO is, along with IUF, have worked with us from the beginning until today. Our partnership remains active and strong in the fight for workers in informal employment. It is my pleasure to welcome you, Sister Laura. So I'm going to start with you, Sister Barbara. Yes, you could tell us about your collaboration work with IDWF over the years.
Thank you so much, Sister June. And good evening, everybody, sisters and brothers, and greetings, warm greetings from Sweden. I think there is one more event to celebrate today in addition to the convention, because the starting point of the International Domestic Workers Network, the IDWN, and the work towards the convention was the meeting in Amsterdam 20 years ago in 2006. As some of you will recall, the meeting was organized by several NGOs, including IRENE, the Dutch IRENE, and unions and researchers who were concerned about the increasing exploitation of domestic workers globally. Representatives of domestic workers organizations from various countries and regions, as well as representatives of the ILO, the Global Union Federations, and WIGO were also there. It was this meeting who recommended that an international network of domestic workers should be formed to provide a platform of exchange of information and to strengthen and promote domestic workers' rights. Another recommendation was to start lobbying for an ILO convention, even though that was considered to be a rather long-term goal. It was agreed that the network should be led by domestic workers' representatives and supported by allies, technicians, such as the IUF, who was asked to become the organizational basis for the network. This was partly due to the fact that the IUF already had affiliates who represented domestic workers. The IUF Women's Committee had since the 90s raised the need for better protection of domestic workers' rights. However, these requests always fell due to lack of resources. But with this joint engagement and initiative in Amsterdam, it was finally possible to go ahead together and start to raise funds for a pilot project called Respect and Rights for Domestic Workers. Sister June mentioned, another ally and part of the technicians was WIGO, who seconded Karin Pappe to work with the IUF. And she did not only the coordination of the project, but she also later became the interim coordinator of the network. In view of the recommendation to work towards a convention, it was also convenient to have a Geneva-based organization. As a global union, the IUF had a long experience in working with the ILO and many good contacts there, not to mention Karin, the ILO specialist who guided many of us through the processes, and also Sister Chris Bonner from WIGO, who was incredible in her work. You will also recall that things went on much more rapid than anticipated. Following the Amsterdam meeting, ACTRAV and ITUC started to prepare the grounds for a convention within the ILO. And already in 2008, the governing body decided to place domestic workers on the agenda for the 2010 and 11 conferences. And the IDWN network was launched in conjunction with the IRC in 2019. This also served as a good preparation for the upcoming negotiations.
Sister Barbara?
Yes?
Unfortunately, we only have a few minutes leave and we'll have to leave the room at
okay,
time.
Okay.
Could you please wrap up?
Yes.
Yes.
I will then try to shorten down. What I wanted to say also was that this was the fourth try to get a convention, and it was why had the other three not why had they failed? Yes, because there was not enough pressure, and there was not such an incredible coalition of workers, domestic workers themselves, and allies. So I think this coalition made it, and it's very important to continue to work together, because alone you can't manage to the extraordinary work that remains to be done.
Thank you so much, Sister Barbara. But we only have 2 minutes
for the room.
So I'm going to turn to you, Laura.
Thanks, Sister June. I'm really honored to be here to celebrate this historic anniversary of a convention that has really changed the face of the labor movement and of labor governance. WEGO, together with the IUF, has walked a long road with domestic workers and the IDWF. And so I spent some time reading through our histories that we had written collectively about this convention. And I think you've heard from Barbara some of the details of that history. I just want to zoom out a little bit and talk about what that history tells me from a sort of high-level point of view. And that is that Convention C-189 was not just a victory of organizing. It was a victory as well of movement infrastructure. What do I mean by movement infrastructure? Before 2006, domestic worker organizations existed, but they didn't have a glue which held them together, which allowed them to translate their local experiences into global power. There was then, over a relatively short period of time, organizations were identified and connected with one another, meetings and exchanges were convened, translation was provided. We often think of movement infrastructure as something very grand and big, but sometimes it's just allowing people to talk to one another. Communication systems built, research produced, leadership development happening, travel and participation funded, relationships with trade unions and the ILO established, governance structures developed, the most important of which is that domestic workers make the decisions themselves, and a global network established. And 5 years later, there's a convention. Amazing. None of this was directly the campaign for C-189, but without it, there would not have been a campaign at all. Without it, there would not have been the victory that Barbara was talking about. So what this history does is it reminds us that movements are built on infrastructure, translation, research, relationship building across sectors and institutions. It's painstaking work, but it is the invisible connective tissue which keeps movements moving forward. 15 years later, C-189 is remembered as a standard-setting victory. But from WEGO's perspective, it is also a reminder that lasting change depends on the institutions, relationships, and capacities that allow workers to exercise collective power over time. And at this time, during a battle around the rollback of rights, it is more necessary than ever for us to keep this infrastructure strong, to recognize this work for what it is, to name it and protect it. I wish IDWF and all domestic workers strength in continuing to make C-189 real for the next 15 years and beyond. We will continue to walk alongside you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister Barbara. Now, I pass it over to you, Sister Hannah.
Thank you very much. I'm coming from Building and Woodworkers International, male-dominated sectors. And first of all, I have to send you greetings from our General Secretary, Ambit Yusen, who unfortunately couldn't be here. But that gives me a privilege to be here with you. So I'm really feel privileged to share this historical moment with you, to so dear topic to my heart, as I'm BWA Global Gender Coordinator. So probably you think at first glance that there is no linkage between BWI and domestic workers. However, beneath differences lies a shared reality of vulnerability, informality, and unequal power relations. For this reason, the struggle for decent work in construction and the struggle for decent work in domestic work are not separate battles. And I can tell you, we have a lot of cross-cutting issue. And one of that is labor migration, as it was stated by the chair, in construction in some countries and in domestic, for domestic workers. You will not find a single national worker in certain countries. For example, in Qatar, where all construction workers and all migrant workers are and all domestic workers are migrant workers. And then we face the same challenges. It's excessive recruitment fees, contract substitution and private recruitment practices, confiscation of passports, wage theft, restriction of freedom of movement and freedom of association, unhealthy working conditions, limited access to labor inspection system and legal remedies. And I can keep going on, and I'm sure that all of you will sign under this list and say, yes, these are the issues we're facing. So this common experience creates a strong basis for solidarity between construction workers and domestic workers. Joint advocacy is needed to promote fair recruitment, stronger labor protections for migrants, portability and social security benefits, equal access to justice regardless of migration status. And then another issue which workers, and particularly women, face in our sectors is high risks of violence and harassment. So in construction, in our sectors, and particularly in construction, there is this vision that violence and harassment comes as part of the job. So it's quite normal to experience this exclusive macho culture at the construction work sites. But it's not the normality. And what I also realized during this ILC meeting, because I'm part of gender transformative committee, is that voice of women in male dominated sectors actually is not heard. It's not so visible. And this is where your experience comes in. We're looking at you and realize that there is a way to make ourselves visible, to bring our concerns on the agenda. And this is indeed a huge area of joint action that we can take together, promote ratification of not only ILOC 1 at 9, but also 190, universal ratification, universal implementation. So the message after 15 years is clear. Decent work cannot be selective. When domestic workers' rights are strengthened, all workers benefit. Thank you.
Sorry, yes. So in the interest of time, thank you all so much, Sister Barbara, Sister Laura, and Sister Anne. Thank you so very much. We would like to extend our gratitude to IUF, to WIGO, BWI, for your unwavering commitment and dedication to the strengthening of the domestic workers' movement. Your solidarity has been transformative in the context of C189, and it became a reality because of our collective struggle and your steadfast collaboration by her side. Our movement stands where it is today because of your partnership and belief in justice for domestic workers worldwide. We value this enduring relationship and look forward to continuing to go stronger together. With our heartfelt thanks to you, Barbara, Anna, and Laura, for your leadership, commitment, and solidarity. And to our allies, let's say viva!
Viva!
Long live our allies, long live. Yes. And now I hand it over to my sister Fish.
So now we would like to invite closing remarks from our friend from Atraf, Claire.
I'll try to be very brief. Good evening to everybody. Thank you so much for the invitation. It's really a privilege to be here with you on behalf of the Bureau of Workers' Activities, ACTRAF, together with Oliver, who joined the opening session, and also with so many other ILO colleagues like Claire, Gladys, and others. And, well, I actually come from a country that has one of the largest domestic work sectors in the world. Overwhelming majority are women, and many of them are black women, whose work has historically reflected deep inequalities linked to gender, race, and class. For millions of domestic workers, work does not guarantee a life free of poverty. Many struggle to provide adequate food, housing, healthcare, education for their families. Migrant domestic workers often face additional vulnerabilities, as was mentioned already here, including exploitation, isolation. And as also mentioned here, there is still, unfortunately, child labor and forced labor in many countries. I'll really be short. I'm cutting everything here, but I would really just really salute everybody here. And on behalf of ACTRAF, also congratulate IDWF, its affiliates, domestic workers here, for the progress really achieved and the leadership you have done so far, but that you continue also to show. We also wish to recognize workers around the world who have also supported the struggle and stood in solidarity with domestic workers throughout this journey. This achievement of 15 years of Convention 189 reminds us also that unity is one of the greatest strengths of workers have to advance their rights and to amplify their voice and achieve lasting social justice. So ACTRAF really looks forward to continue in its close collaboration with all of you. We firmly believe that freedom of association, collective bargaining are essential pillars of democracy at work and indispensable means for workers to improve their lives and shape a more just future. So thank you very much. I'll stop here.
Viva IDWF! So, last but not least, I'm biting my tongue. We will, towards the June 16th, our day, the International Domestic Workers Day, on the 14th June, which is the Sunday, many of us will be celebrating. The IDWF will be organizing a webinar, and we would have all of our affiliates celebrating our day. Also, we will have the video remembering how our role map towards this convention it looks like, with subtitles to be shared to all of you. And also, we will invite you to continue to dance and sing and rock the I.O. building. We have prepared cake downstairs in the Gobelin with drinks and dance and songs, because domestic workers have a convention. 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 Thank you very much. We invite all of you.
Thank you. Thank you to the interpreter as well. Thank you.
So we will have cake. Compañeras para el español, ¿me están escuchando? No, ya no me están escuchando. No, they're not listening anymore.
We have Muchas gracias. Thank you those on the Zoom. We will end the Zoom. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Gracias por venir. ¿Cómo estás?
Acompañando siempre.
Who owns this boy? I want one of this. Adrian.
Sí, lo más seguro es que estamos bien. Creo que hay voluntad política. Ya hay una aprobación del CES, que es tripartito, y entonces yo no creo que lo tenga.
Sí, vayan a soplar la velita, okay. A tomar vino.
No, sí, no. Vino. Claro, soplamos la velita.
Allá, lo que necesitamos. Vamos abajo. Y ahí tomamos más fotos, ¿verdad?
Hermosa, porque te quiero saludar, no te dejes acordar de mí. A veces me ayudaste con la traducción en Nueva York.
¡Ay, no me digas! ¡De Nueva York!
Mira, es donde nos acordamos.